Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
acting without scientific evidence. So when the scientific evidence is clear and all the parameters are set and you can do the right thing, it's actually rather a nice condition, because you can ethically say, look, I know the right thing to do. But a lot of life, personal relationships, decisions which involve your value, sense of values and stuff like that, very hard to come up with something nice and concrete and scientific, and you're often left with potential theories which may or may not be true. You can find it actually quite difficult to actually work your way through all of this. And you've got to come up with a decision. So there's a number of conditions where this has come. It can be just that the condition that you're looking at is sufficiently important to you personally, but society, there's not been enough research on it to nail it down, to make a decision. There may be competing alternatives. You're lucky looking at the day to have a celebration or something like that. Day of a month, and there's different ones. It's very hard to get a, grind it into an equation and get a definitive answer. But generally, what we do is we do sort of consensus of quorum judgment. So we get a whole group of people to give a general guess, and we go with that. On average, that it's reasonably right, but it's sort of not a scientific form. And in fact, this quorum judgment of where people go with what society thinks is a reasonably good guide to what what one should be doing. Just crossing here, I've got this rather long drive ahead of me. I've got to fill up with petrol, get guinea pig feed, and get milk in that order, and also note the trying to calculate the range of my car. Yeah, so that's always just an effort to do all that type of stuff. And I'm in the midst of podcasting. The podcast audience has dropped off as I've sort of focused on other things for a while. But this is a generalised problem of how do you approach this, and what's the homework to do it. Now, the idea of taking a system of information and categorising that system of information really got going in World War II with the Americans' intelligence gathering a whole lot of, just from rumour to reasonably good to impressions, just gathering a whole lot of that and trying to actually form an intelligence picture out of that. So that's sort of one variety. They developed a matrix method of linear equations which were solved by simplex algebra. So that's obviously things in life which doesn't work that way, but the idea of an equation, a boundaries, different ideas, greater than or less than, not quite. I really want to look at what fuzzy logic is, but to try and work that out, that's one aspect of it. But this is all the solutions were not contradictory solutions. So it's almost, they're linear equations, but they're not contradictory. And where you have sort of contradictory, I'd call them from quantum mechanics, orthogonal solutions. This is a solution, I've got one form, or it's swung over to another. But the reality is that's your conceptualization of it. Well, the actual reality is a mixture of them all. So one is that you've got dispersed fragmentary information, or the information is fragmented, or the theory is fragmented, or you've got a body of theories. So in maths, you've got something called a Hilbert space. And that is the space of all possible equations. You've got a number space, and a Hilbert space is a space where, say, your equations are in essence, numbers. And so your equation variation forms a space, and that's called a Hilbert space. And once you've got a Hilbert space, there's certain things you can do. And so a fairly simple example of that would be, of that general idea, is Fourier analysis, where each frequency you hear is a, it's got a frequency and amplitude and phase. So it's got the frequency has got a number on a number line, but on that number line there's an amplitude and phase, and that determines ideally or the entire thing that's going on. Now, what actually is the crazy thing is that for a sound bite, it forms, if you do a piece of sound into there, it's just a smooth curve. But as you record more and more, it becomes more and more crinkly. So it's between, oh my God, Father, just watch, just mind your manners, mate. Okay, so I have actually done, oh, it's going to be bloody hard to actually do this calculation. Where we listen for information in time, the information from a, say you're listening to this podcast, and you will listen to it over a period of time, it can be actually compressed to a fairly short clump of data with a full Fourier analysis of it. Now, there's certain things that the precision and calculation, it's much easier for the computers that we have just for you to listen to the whole length of the podcast as it rolls out. But we could just basically give you a single beep, and in that beep it's so, got so much information in that beep that it's came across. This is this is to do with bandwidth and stuff like that. So this is actually quite true. That, say, just an example of that. I'm going to go in here to this servo, so I'm going to stop speaking to you soon. But say, you might think, oh, look, this blooming bastard, he's just an idiot. Well, no, this, just consider what's going on. I can, this, say, podcast, if it's recorded, data compressed, can be fitted in, say, a megabyte of data. That megabyte of data, gigabit per second, basically I can put this podcast through to you in the order of nanoseconds. Okay, we're going to have to stop here while I get on to the next topic. No, not next topic, I'll just fill up and here we go. Thanks a lot for listening. Okay, starting up again, we're talking about what you call complex problems. Okay, so people have got a general idea that their first approach to a problem is simplifying it mathematically, and then if something can be simplified mathematically, it can be solved mathematically, so therefore it's, you know, it's sort of this closed loop of trimming everything such that it can be soluble. I don't know, there's this world that people exist in which they only ever encounter problems that they can solve, and therefore it's sort of, they filter, their way of making sure the world is always soluble is by denying insoluble problems. So there's sort of like a denial of these problems, and you get these really, really messy problems coming up, and this sort of, they sort of solve one, get taught how to solve one problem, and then there's this emotional reaction. But then when they see something which is obviously solved in a particular way, they're using something which is solved in a particular way, they just sort of absorb it without ever understanding it. So I don't think people really understand digitization and the internet. They don't understand near-field cards. They just use it. It's just part of the magic. Sort of almost that science is a new religion, and we've actually just keep on adding more things which get people addicted to it. But there is a strange thing that
you've got this strange paradox of more science available in it, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the people are adopting sort of logical responses to it. They're sort of, oh God, it's going to take a long time for these bloody cars to come past, mate. So it's people actually don't actually wind up being logical at the end of it. It's sort of, it's nothing to be, that's just the human condition, you know. The idea that came into my head is woolly mammoths. They were reliably conditioned to run, you know, be run down a canyon and slaughtered. And they could do it year after year after year, because evolution has a really slow way of teaching things. And this is the normal way that we learn is sexually learn. That a successful person, and it's the thing that the person with the most wealth and stuff like that usually has it because of traditional number of purposes, that they were fitter and stuff like that. Nowadays, it's all, people are also being deceived, that the healthier, the richer people are generally the more deceitful and crafty and dubious people. And so we are, by worshipping and giving more wealth to rich people, we're sort of selecting these people. And part of this is, if you want to actually cheat on a system, you can't actually afford to spend time understanding it too deeply. Right, it's one of those things. And so mathematics is sort of equivalent to becoming a monk. It's a life of contemplation and penance and awareness. I think the fundamental thing is that your religious people strove to be aware of human suffering. The actual peasants did the suffering, and then the rich people paid for these monks and various religious people to explain to them, these people are suffering and we should do something about it. It sort of made it all okay, sort of a stable situation. And this is sort of happening a little bit today we live in a very unmathematical society. So what I'm going to talk about is a solution space to... I've got to make a decision to do heaps and heaps of cognitive rehab at this gym. This hours and hours slogging away at this brain HQ thing. I'm sure I'm doing joint damage to my finger pressing it. And you've got to look at the solutions. It's not going to be your standard podcast where I say, so-and-so thinks this, so-and-so thinks that. Oh, we really put it all together and here's the resolution. This is the era of unresolved problems. It's not that the information isn't there. It's just that there is a series of different... interacting solutions, and it's not that one solution is right or wrong. The actual solution, what's in that reality, is a combination or is a movement through solution space. It's not a dynamic thing, it's a structure of solutions. So the first thing is that you could say it has, and this is a generally held belief, it has no proven double-blind therapeutic value against doing knitting or watching TV. That's one view. The other view they would have you believe is that the brain's a marvellous thing and it's capable of plastic change. And to a certain extent, if this was true, they'd be able to prove it. But otherwise, what they do is they find other proof, sort of like trying to prove... if it is true, it's remarkably remarkably invisible, scientifically invisible. Now there's that there's the idea of
diversion. So it diverts you, which is, you know, this is probably the middle ground. It's got no value, but it diverts you for doing something less, completely untherapeutic. It's a combination of the solution there. Also a solution in there is that it's part of, it's just a parameter to float up there in multiple states, and some of the there's different ways you can do brain training. You can sit on your ass and do brain training in front of your telly, disturbed, or you could do it focused on a treadmill. Now, once you do it focused on a treadmill, you've suddenly got multiple parameter space to go up. So you've got your mass, your endurance, your time, your brain AQ, they call it an AQ, not IQ store. They just invent whatever they want, just so that people can have what they want to go across. I'm deeply, deeply skeptical of, it's a scientific crime to actually tell the rat the result of how it did in a maze, because that's going to feed back. It's going to make this huge, complex mess. Now, in the real world, people don't give a shit. So you get this system where it's just not going to happen. But ideally, there should be a third party objectively monitoring what's going on and not feeding back to the person doing it. So you break that neat nexus. However, so you've got these parameters: your mass, your endurance, your heart rate profile, all these numbers, and it gets a figure of merit. Figure of merit is the wrong way of doing it. If you put all those in multidimensional space, that creates a manifold, a flat manifold. So your mass can vary from, I don't know, 60 to 100, and your endurance can go like this, and your brain HQ can go, they may not be correlated, but you are pushing up against this manifold. Now, if they're uncorrelated, they'll have a flat aspect to it. The manifold itself may be compliance or hysteresis. So that manifold may be shaped with optimizations on it, and it may be such that you can travel in a trajectory in that manifolded screw yourself, screw forward. And I'm passing the turn off to the gym because I'm going up to buy some guinea pig food. There you go. Getting it all in order, and I'm absolutely rooted here. You've got some other things besides that. You've got your endurance at the sort of short-term endurance, and then there's the long-term endurance about where you just build up fatigue over time. So all this fatigue stuff, if you don't know the brain injury people, it's in there. It's one of these unspoken, it's not unspeakable, it's just not up there, because people operate on consensus thinking. They don't think mathematically, they're consensus thinking, and consensus thinking is not just I'll take the consensus. You contribute to the consensus, and your contribution is a financial basically transaction. A transaction. So if you transact in something which gets rejected, so the consensus needs to feed back to people that they need to put a certain amount of things into form of consensus. If everyone didn't have pretty much the same form that they answered in the same way, you couldn't form a consensus. If everyone just actually objectively looked at it and came up with their own opinion without feedback, it'd all be scrambled. It's much better to have, oh, I think it's this or this. Do you agree? Oh, yes, I do. And that the actual clutter or gossip takes up, and before long people say, oh, you shouldn't do it. Well, why? I just don't. It's just the feel. It's just the vibe. And so we're all going through all this mathematical thing saying, oh, look, it's not a logical thing. It's got all this aspect of it. And so because there's, so the consensus thinking is just really junk thinking. This junk herd thinking. It's the type of herd that mammoths do or sheep think, and that's really good if you want to be eaten. You know, if you're just getting a sheepdog, and that's all over. Yeah, you know, it's, and then you surround some romantic ideas of shepherd, little Bo Peep, and a lamb barbecue. Just put that all together, and that's solved, because the idea of thinking about it is you're thinking for your own personal convenience. You're hungry, you want to eat sheep, you think that's okay. You want to tell a bedtime story or a nursery rhyme, little Bo Peep. And shepherds in the flock, you want to use it heaps and heaps of times. You actually don't. It's junk consensus thinking. You know, like, use sheep is used at all these points in your culture to do all these various things. Yet, very few people actually connect with the actual life form of the sheep. Okay, crap on. Okay, we're on course. So I've just got to, there's just a slight little, there's no drama here, but I do have to concentrate to coming up up here. So you've got this complex manifold place, and then you've got the the actual feedback from the Brain HQ. Could it mean anything? Or does anything mean... So, well, if it had a neutral response, it would probably be right. If it had a negative response, you'd want to check it out. Is it got a positive response? All you can say, really, from a positive response is that it could be doing something, or that's exactly what they have to do, because that's product has is product needs to sell itself, so it's got to generate... have a level of achievability built into it. Now, and if this is true, you think that over a period of time, you've got thousands of these brain apps, and the ones which actually do work over time will do things. Now, it is known that computer games and computer screen time maybe has an effect, but it's really hard to pick it up. But the, I suppose the important aspect of this is that I'm doing it slightly differently. Like, I'm doing at an intensity above normal, with, in a way which is unusual. So intensity 2 hours. Well, I only did an hour last night because I couldn't be staffed. 2 hours, one session and another, and at given that the conditions are not scientific, not optimal, she was just really focusing out here. Come on, I would just be pissed off if I missed this turn off. Yes, Wawa Tallwood Parade. I think this is the way to go. Okay, coming down here. Okay, sorry for this, mate. I have to just really pay attention to here, because this is a pretty tricky life and death situation. I don't know if you can hear the cars rushing past, but there's probably 60 cars going and a gap in the traffic going afterwards. Come on, don't shit me. Oh, I hate this. Whoa. I normally wouldn't take a risk like that. Oh, that gave you a matter of time to turn. That's all okay. To come. So, all this says is that there's a certain reasons for doing it, and there is a potential hope for doing it, and one does sort of gold standard cognitive tests either side of it, just to check that is it going forward, is it going backwards, to pick up things that you don't know. The bottom line is that it's almost unethical. Well, It's economic but unethical, like so many things. Like your own self. I don't know. It's sort of, to me, putting a emergency call button on an old person so when you've all rejected them alone, you can keep them alive is... It's okay. It's a technical solution that works, but that's the best we can do. But the underlying principle of society, which has rejected its old people and leave them off to quietly die, is still there. So here you've got, what are you going to do? I shudder at the people who've got really bad brain injuries, don't even know what to do. They can't even think their way out of it. So I'm at a level which I can at least push out. Oh, come around here, mate. Oh. Sorry, I don't know, for some reason I'm really feeling the rocks on this road coming down this old valley. So this will get me up to here. So yeah, so you've got all these things that given we don't know what is going on, you really it really requires a arm's length objective test to pull in what's going on and evaluation of the value of it, so to speak, to come and push in. Now, this is interesting in that there's such a complex interaction. Firstly, I'm the scientist doing the crap. Okay, let's come around here, mate. Oh, gosh. Okay, so that's the end of this talk for the moment. I might have a different topic on the way up. Thanks a lot for listening. Here we go at Sun Valley Produce to pick up guinea pig food. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.